So we're discussing free will, and a person should not ever think. Rambam tells us a person should never think the thesis held by the fools that everything is ordained by God. Our choices are ordained by God. A person should never think that our choices are ordained by God. A person should never think that I'm not good because God said I'm not going to be good. Or I'm righteous because God said I'm righteous. Or he's righteous because God said he's going to be righteous. God didn't say I'm going to be righteous. God said he's righteous. My deeds are beyond my control. It's all in God's hands. And therefore, God controls me. I'm his puppet. So if I do something bad, it must be because God wants it. So that is a very, very dangerous process of thought. Why? Because then a person says, I don't get reward or punishment. You know why? Usually they say, I don't get punishment. Why? Because God wanted me to do it. It's out of my control. It's my destiny to do it. So it's my destiny to do it. I can't get punished. So therefore, we Jews, we believe in reward and punishment, which implies that you can't get reward and punishment unless it's your free choice. So we believe it's purely our free choice. It's purely our free choice. And everything's in the hands of heaven except for Yirat Shamayim, free choice. Except for free choice decisions. So this is a very, very harsh language Rambam gives us. A person should not entertain this foolish thought that our choices are not in our hands. That God controls us like a robot. It's not true. Each person is fit to be righteous like Moses, our teacher. Now this is a very interesting Rambam. How can we be righteous like Moses? So number one is we have a general rule. And this is one of the 13 principles of faith, that there is no prophet like Moses. There's no prophet that ever can be like Moses. So if a person says, you know, I'm also a prophet. Moses said to do this, but I'm saying not to do it. I'm also a prophet. Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet. I'm also a prophet. And I'm saying I can overrule Moshe Rabbeinu. So the 13 principles of faith say, no, there'll never be a prophet like Moshe. But the Rambam tells us that every person can be righteous like Moses. We can't be prophets like Moses, but we can be righteous like Moses. A very, very powerful idea. Every person. Yeah, everybody doesn't say. So every person is fit to be righteous like Moses. In other words, anyone has choices. Everyone has choices. If you want to choose to do good, and be good, and good, and good, and good, you can be like Moses. Be righteous like Moses. Amazing. Or, a person can be wicked like Yeravon ben Nevat, who was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel when they broke away from the tribe, from David HaMelech, from King David and his descendants. He was really evil, and he made all the Jews sin. He built golden calves, made them sin, idolatrous. If you want to be evil like him, you can be evil like him. The choices are there for us. We choose our destinies. We choose our deeds. We choose our path in life. You cannot come along and blame God for the path. God, it's your fault. No, that's evil. That's an evil thing to say. That's a terrible thing to say to God. It's your fault. Who says that? Adam Rishon. The woman you gave me caused me to sin. The woman you gave me, and she says, it wasn't me, it was the snake that you created. And Cain, when he killed his brother, and God says, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? You're the one in charge, not me. If I killed him, it's your fault. And terrible things to say. But no, it's not. That's not a good thing to say. And that's not a smart thing to say. That is the opinion of the fools. That what? It's God who's doing it, not me. What do you mean? You have free choice. You just made a choice. No, it wasn't me. God put it in my head. God controls me. That is a cop-out. And that cop-out is disregarded in Jewish law. We do not regard that as... So you go to, a person goes to court. He killed someone. And it's a true story. This happened in the Druze community in Israel. The guy killed someone. And he said, listen, it's God's, it's destiny. Obviously, God wanted him to die that day. So I just happened to be the vehicle God used to kill him. If he died, it's destiny. Beshert. You know, some people say, beshert. What do you mean, beshert? If someone killed someone, it's beshert. We're going to see that free choice extends to the point where a person can be killed even though he doesn't deserve to be killed. How do we know? Because the brothers of Joseph could have killed him. They literally could have killed him. In other words, a person's free choice extends all the way to even killing someone. Hashem says, go ahead. Carte blanche. You have free choice. It's a terrible thing to say. That's why people always ask, why did God do this? Why did God, who said it was God? It was free choice. God let free choice. So why did God give us a free choice? The person says, so why did God give us free choice? And the answer is, because without free choice, then we have no purpose to live. If we're all robots, there's no purpose to live. We're here either to earn our reward or not earn our reward. We're here to earn our reward. That's what we're here for. Without that, we can't have free. There's no free choice. There's no reward. Very simple. It's like a kid goes to school and he has no free choice. Now, what? Or he goes to, he does them. He's in mischief. He creates mischief. And the teacher says, "What do you do?" He says, "It wasn't me. I don't have free choice. I'm just the robot. I'm the robot of the teacher. Can you imagine? I'm programmed by the teacher. I have no choice." This is ludicrous. It's ludicrous for a person to say, "I have no free choice." So why did they say that? It's always the bad guys who say we don't have free choice. The good guys, well, I have free choice. I did it myself. I did it all myself. A millionaire always says, "I did it all myself." He doesn't talk about God. It's when they want to escape blame. And then they say, "Oh, it's God." It's amazing. So look what he said. Look how far our choices extend to. A person can be righteous like
Moshe
Rabbeinu, Moses. And a person can be evil like Yeravam ben Nevat, who was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel, of the 10 tribes. And he was a disaster. Similarly, a person may be wise or foolish. It depends on you. You want to sit down and learn? It's up to you. That's what we tell our kids. Listen, we tell our kids, it's up to you. You want to go to college? Go to college. You don't want to go to college? Don't go to college. You want to be a plumber? Be a plumber. You want to be a carpet layer? Be a carpet layer. You can be a concrete dyer. Whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. It's up to you. It's all purely in your free choice. I can't force you to do it. Well, I can, but it's not going to be successful. You have to make the choices. So that's our choices. Merciful or cruel? You want to be a barbarian? Go be a barbarian. You want to join ISIL or ISIS or whatever? Those Mamzerim, these guys, are cruel barbarians. You want to be like that? Go ahead. Free choice. Hashem says you have free choice. Everyone in this world has free choice. Miserly or generous? Or any other kind of character trait? There is no one that compels us to act in a certain way. No one compels us to act in a certain way. And no one leads us towards these paths. Rather, all these things are up to our own initiative. We have the choices. We make our choices. This was implied by the prophet Jeremiah, who says in Echa, imagine, Echa talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. In chapter 3, verse 38, from the mouth of the Most High, neither evil or good comes forth. Hashem is not the one who controls our destinies or our choices. It's all our choice. In other words, Hashem wants the temple to be destroyed. Who says I have to do it? Hashem wants the Jews to be afflicted. Who says I have to do it? It's like the commentaries ask about the Egyptians. So the Egyptians made an excuse. They say, God, you yourself said to Abraham, your descendants are going to be strangers in a foreign land 400 years, and they're going to be afflicted. So we afflicted them. And God says, who says you had to be the ones to afflict them? That's your choice. It's going to be someone else to afflict them. Why did you have to be the one to afflict them? And someone had to die on a certain day. But who says you have to be the one to kill them? That's your free choice. You shouldn't have been the one. In fact, if a person has a choice, say there's a punishment, a couple of years ago, they're advertising for people to kill people. Capital punishment. Someone has to give the capital punishment, right? Someone's going to inject the guy. So they ask for volunteers. I think they're not volunteers, they're paid. So who says you have to be the one to kill someone? The government has to kill someone. Capital punishment. Whether you believe it or you don't believe in capital punishment. Let's say you do. Capital punishment. Who says you have to be the one to kill? That's your free choice. You chose that job. Who says you have to be the shochet? Who says you have to go and join the army? Who says? So you made free choice. It's a free choice decision. All these are free choices. No one's pushing you. Unless you're conscripted. And even if you're conscripted, who says you have to point the gun in a certain direction? That was the Germans, Yamak Shemam. Their main excuse was, we had no choice. We were commanded. We followed orders. That's not an excuse. You follow orders without shooting anyone. You go in the army and point the other direction. You miss. How many times can you miss? I don't know. Before they kill you. I don't know. So anyway, so free choice is in our hands. We have free choice. And that's why one of the 30 principles of faith is there is reward and punishment. Hashem rewards us for our choices, and Hashem can punish us for our choices, because we all have free choice. So, it's interesting, because Hashem created the world with this caveat, and that's why the rabbis call it constriction. Hashem constricted himself in a certain respect. When he constricts himself, he doesn't interfere. He doesn't interfere. When he sees bad things going on, he doesn't interfere. He hasn't interfered since many years ago, since the time of coming out of Egypt. Or Joshua, he made the sun stand still for Joshua. Or he crossed the river for Joshua. He crossed the sea for Moses and the people. He hasn't made these kind of miracles for a long time. Why? So we said in those days there was magic. People could, they had free choice. Maybe it's magic, maybe it's not magic. Today there's no magic, and therefore We don't have that kind of miracles. Those miracles would affect our free choice. Listen, some natural phenomena are miracles in their own right. They don't affect our free choice. Ah, it's a natural phenomenon. But really, natural phenomena also is a miracle that we get used to, that's all. A miracle that happens every day. Like, say, if you saw the manna falling every day, what would you say? After 10 years, you'd say, it's a natural phenomenon. The manna falls every day. And that's what happened in the desert. After 40 years of the manna, we're sick of the manna. It's not a miracle anymore. Not only is it not a miracle, we're sick of it already. It's a nuisance. It's a nuisance. It's terrible. Terrible thing to say. But a miracle is a nuisance. It's like, that's the thing when people get used to something. It's the same thing applies in marriage. A person gets used to his wife, doesn't really appreciate it anymore. Or vice versa. She doesn't appreciate husband because she's had him so many years. It's the same thing all the time. So it's time for something new. That's midlife crisis. You see all these old men on Harley Davidsons. They're always in their 50s and they're riding these bikes. It's unbelievable. So I passed them on Sunday.
They should do the worst thing.
I'm just saying that it's a midlife crisis. That they want something new in their lives. And these guys make the best heart transplant donors.
Yeah, smash right.
Right, exactly. So that's the worst, probably the most dangerous thing to do in, you know, in daily life is ride that motorbike. A powerful motorbike and then go around the bend and literally gone. Anyway, that's his free choice. Chose it. So we don't appreciate things that happen regularly. We don't appreciate them as miracles. We take them as nature. So that's our free choice. We have free choice. So we have the power of choice. Where does the power of choice come from? We said it comes from the fact that we are created in the image of God. How do we know? Because it preceded the sin of Adam. In other words, it didn't come after the sin. It came before the sin. And therefore, inbuilt into Adam, the fact that he was created in the image of God implies that he has free will. So a person can be like Moses. How? Not in terms of prophecy, but in terms of righteousness. You have the choices to be righteous like Moshe. Imagine. A person goes to heaven and Hashem says, no? What happened to you? So what do you mean? What happened to you? Said, I expected you to be like Abraham. So what, me like Abraham? How can I be like Abraham? You couldn't be like Abraham. Okay, so we have this Tana de Eliyahu, which is Eliyahu Navi, says, every person is obliged to say, when will my deeds equal those of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? That's our role models. That's what we have to strive to reach. That level we have to strive to reach. Obviously, we have to strive. You're going to get there, but you have to strive. So a person says, you know what? I want to be like Abraham. I'm going to have guests in my house. I'm going to preach to them about God and belief in God. And that's what we're supposed to do. Open the house on Friday night and bring Jews in and tell them about God and tell them about creation and tell them about Shabbat. That's what we should do. Right? That's how you bring people in. That's Abraham Avinu. We have to be like Abraham Avinu. We have to be like Yitzhak, which is... what was the greatness of Yitzhak? What was the greatness of Yitzhak? The greatness of Yitzhak was... He kept... The traditions going. The traditions of his father. He was faithful to the traditions of his father. He was a solid link in the chain. And he passed it down to Yaakov. He didn't really do it. We don't see anything spectacular about Yitzhak. He said the fact that he was acted on. He never really does anything. He was passive, but everything happened to him. He wasn't really active. But he was a solid link in the chain. Abraham and Yaakov. Who's in between? Yitzhak. Yitzhak was solid. So we have to emulate Yitzhak. We got our chain of tradition all from our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers at tremendous cost. And if we can pass it down to our children, we're like it's amazing. And Yaakov. Yaakov was the greatest educator. He passed it down to all of his children. 12 children. 12 sons and one daughter. So we have to be like that. Tremendous educators. Pass it down to our children. So we have to be like Abraham, the initiator, the giver, the missionary. Yitzhak, just to keep the traditions and continue them down and pass them down. And Yitzhak and Yaakov, who's the tremendous educator, pass it down to his children. I don't know what they should do. Everyone has a different character. So according to your character, you can't force a person who's not open and orator to speak to people. It's very hard. They hide themselves. That was it. That was Yitzhak. Gvura. Abraham was chesed. He was a man who was very social. He liked to go out. He liked to talk to people. He liked to have people over. So that's what he did. Everything depends on your character traits. So according to your character traits, that's your mission. Some people are very good with their hands. Have a guy outside. He's very good with his hands. So help the shul. Build the synagogue. Build the temple. Like who built the Mikdash? Who built the Mishkan? Quickly. Bezalel. He was good with his hands, so he built the Mishkan. Otis. Like the Bezalel Academy, Lahavdil, it's named after. So everything depends on a person's strengths. We have to know our strengths. What are your strengths? What can I do with my strength to serve God? That's the question. So obviously everyone has to serve God in the same way, in a sense, up to a certain point. You've got to do all the mitzvot. But everything else depends on your character traits. Which thrust, which mitzvah are you going to emphasize in your life depends on you. Are you going to emphasize outreach? Are you going to emphasize inreach? Are you going to emphasize yourself? Are you going to emphasize your children? It's all up to you. It's all in your hands. That's the free choice, this is. So can you imagine how much potential each one of us has? They're going to ask you, why weren't you like Abraham? Why weren't you Yitzhak? Why weren't you? So you have three choices. You're going to serve God like Abraham. You're going to serve God like Yitzhak. You're going to serve God like Yaakov. You're going to serve God like Moshe Rabbeinu. Four choices. So it's a beautiful Gemara. This Gemara is a Nida. Tet Zayin, I would bet. The Gemara says, the angel who governs pregnancy comes to Hashem with a drop of liquid, and asks the God, Master of the world, what will be the fate of this drop? Will the resulting child be strong, weak, wise, foolish, rich, or poor? However, he doesn't ask, will the child be righteous or wicked? Because that is not in God's hands. God says, that I relinquish. That is in the person's hand. That's in the child's hand. That's going to be created. Everything is in the hands of heaven. That's what the Gemara says. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven. Fear of heaven is up to you. What you're going to do is up to you. So now the Rambam over here doesn't talk about it much. He just simplifies it a little bit. But the Rambam in Shmoneh Prakim, we said there's a commentary of the Rambam on Pirkei Avot. It's eight chapters. So it's called the eight chapters. So when it says Rambam, eight chapters, you know, it's his commentary on Pirkei Avot, on Ethics of the Fathers, which is really six chapters, but his commentary is eight chapters. So he says over there, I just want to quote what he says, people are born with different natures. Some have a greater degree of natural refinement than others. Right? Some people are very coarse from birth. Right? They're not very educated. And they didn't have much manners. They don't have much manners from birth. So it takes a lot of effort for them to get to a high level. So other people are born with a greater degree of refinement. For them, it's much easier to be righteous. So it depends on the person. Each one is born with different tendencies. Each one of us is different. You can see from children growing up in school what kind of children they are. Some kids are rough. Some kids are fine. Some kids are quiet. Some kids are very loud. Some kids are happy. Some kids are sad. It's part of the natural disposition. So these dispositions come from hereditary. They're hereditary. You get it from your parents. You get it from your genes. Others are more materialistic. They're rougher, they're tougher, they're more materialistic. So every one of us has our own kinds of tendencies. Everyone has our own tendencies. And the reward we get is based on how far we rose above our tendencies. So a person with good tendencies because his parents gave him good genes, and the parents raised him in a fine way. And now he was up to here when he was already a small kid, and now he got up to here. So he'll get a reward for the distance he traveled. A person who started over here, and he raised himself up to here, he's going to get much more reward. Yeah, so he's going to get much more reward. So it depends on a person's tendencies from birth. Depends on their qualities from birth. Depends on who they were hanging out with as well. So peer pressure is very, very important. So, to allow for the expression of godliness, every person must undergo some kind of personal struggle and challenge. Okay, so to get closer to God, a person has to struggle. It doesn't come easily. Other things, you know, the guy's a rabbi, he's been a rabbi all his life. Not true, he's not been a rabbi all his life. He started off on a certain level, and it's struggle to get to be this, to get a certain level. It's not a joke, you have to struggle. You got to fight that gets around till the end, it's not a joke. It takes a lot of struggle to. A person could be anything when you grow up. You can choose whatever you want. I could choose whatever I wanted. I didn't have to be here. I could choose whatever I wanted. So the fact that you're choosing something implies that you made a certain decision, a free choice decision. And according to your choices, that's where you'll end up. Right? So a person has to make those choices. And that's our free will. We have free will to make the choices. We can end up like Moshe Rabbeinu. We can end up like Yerovam ben Nevat. Okay, so it doesn't come from God. That's what we're saying. It all depends. We have free will. Human beings have free will. You cannot blame God. It's God's fault that this guy became evil. Well, it's not God's fault. God gave him choices, just like everyone else. And he chose to be in a certain path. So if he chose to a certain path, and he ends up in jail, that's his problem, right? If he chose a certain path, he ends up in yeshiva. That's his credit. He chose it. You know, when I was growing up, I had two choices. When I got to 18, I could go to a kibbutz, or I go to yeshiva. It's choices everyone has. You want to go to kibbutz, you want to go to yeshiva. You go to Israel. Where in Israel? It's your choice. You want to go to kibbutz, you want to go to yeshiva. So the guys that chose the kibbutz, you can see where they ended up. You see the guys that chose yeshiva, where they ended up. It's two different worlds. That one decision is a major decision, what a person does in life. It's a crossroads in a person's life. We all have crossroads every day in our lives. We all have to make that decision every day. Therefore, he says, now we come to the crunch. This is what Rambam says. So Rambam says, since whatever we do is because of our free will, no one else is responsible for it. You know, today is a big sickness. The sickness is people blame their parents for everything. It's a tremendous sickness. But again, it's similar to what Adam Rishon did. He blamed God. He blamed his wife for his sin. And she blamed the snake for his sin. So everyone blames someone else. So who do we have to blame today? So we blame our parents. Our parents gave us bad genes. Okay? Our parents gave us bad education. It's their fault. It's not my fault. It's their fault. No. You also have free choice. What happens to a free choice? You're just getting out of responsibilities. You're finding a way out of one's responsibilities because you don't want to take the heat. So most of the people just pass the buck. It's called passing the buck. So people pass the buck because they don't want their responsibilities to reach them. So they go to psychologists and they talk about their parents. Hours and hours of guilt and this and that. My parents ruined me. I hate my mother. I heard it so many times. I hate my mother. Usually it's mother. I hate my mother so much. I hate her. I'd write that. I can't see what they want to do. It's crazy.
Playing the victim.
There's a guy here. He says his mother never got us a tombstone. You can't blame him because he never inherited. His sister inherited. He was the bad guy in the family. Never got a penny. His sister got all the money. And his sister never put a tombstone for the mother. Imagine. She would not put a tombstone for her mother. Her own mother. She hated her mother. Crazy. So that doesn't make sense, and that's what we're talking about, is people who think that they were ruined by their own parents. That's not true. Even if you were ruined by your own parents, now what happened now? You have free choice now. You can fix yourself now. So fix yourself. And that is our own responsibility. Let's just finish off this Rambam. Therefore, it is proper for a person to do teshuva for their sins. Because we did it to our souls. And the evil consequences we brought on ourselves. And therefore, we have no one to blame but ourselves. ברוך ה' לעולם, אמן ורבי חיים.